You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined, as always, by Harrison Fagan. Today's going to be a fun show. Today's going to be a really good time. We keep telling everybody who listens that if you want something covered on the show, leave us a five-star review in your question, and that's the absolute best way to ensure that we get to your topic. So we're going to empty the mailbag today. And Harrison, you're going to be in charge of the questions. Are you ready to do so?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always happy to use my ability to read to benefit this podcast because I'm the only host on it who knows how.
Yeah, it's why we work. So, as always, make sure you're following the show on audio on. Man, I had a nice streak.
One day, Anthony will learn what platforms we're on.
I had a nice streak. It was like 2 weeks. I hadn't. Anywho, you can follow the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn. Oh my God! Spotify, whatever.
Today's fast break.
Yeah, all Alexa. Of those ones. Yeah, Spotify and Lakers Nation.
Everywhere
Lakers
podcasts are sold.
Yeah. All that good stuff. Let's just get to it. I just got a headache kicking in right now, so that was perfect timing. Harrison, go ahead and throw out.
Every woman
first
in
question.
My life has I've had that same effect. So, so all right. First question was it was from Big J 2345678, and the topic is Harrison. Great analysis, Harrison. I love it when you have guests who really understand the technical aspects of the game like you do. Well, that wasn't really a question, but I appreciate the compliment and also the subtweeted Anthony. So,
there's really like a Big J 1 2 3 4 and one and one. Like he had to go all the way up to eight.
I think it's a Pardon My Take reference, and if it is, I appreciate you even more, anonymous Big J. And so the next question I wanted to get to was from Wrong Hand Man, and it just says, "Great show, 5 stars. Great podcast. Love when you guys bring on Coach Pete from Laker Film Room." So, you know, the episodes where Anthony isn't on. Loves those ones.
Given the way today's show starts, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, he had so he actually did have a question other than just roasting you. He said, well, actually, we'll get to that question after. No, we'll just get to it now. If the Lakers don't sign one or two free agent superstars the upcoming summer, what do you think is the next best outcome? And this one kind of goes with another question from R. Moore, so we're going to answer them in tandem. R. Moore 5 asks, is the future of the organization better without two max contracts? Let's get PG3 to play alongside the young supporting cast. I love James, but eventually the mileage is going to catch up to him. So I think we can kind of get into what we think the best outcome is by answering that second question. And so I could start. I'll just say, like, I think the criticism of James's mileage is maybe a little bit overblown. He's been shown to kind of be an injury, like, free cyborg for many years now. And I'm not as worried about that as I know some people on Twitter are. And I also think that the whole, like, if you're looking at it just in a vacuum, yes, getting Paul George to play alongside the young core and grow alongside them and be that kind of vet that helps them take that next step forward is a good idea. But that should be very appealing to the Lakers, very appealing to Lakers fans. I'm not sure why it's appealing to Paul George other than wanting to live in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is that, sure, it makes sense that, you know, you groom this young core alongside a superstar and you alleviate the pressure of the young core by utilizing the superstar's ability. All of that makes a ton of sense if you're running like NBA 2K. But the thing is, what we've found out in recent years is that superstars aren't going to places by themselves anymore. And if they are going by themselves, they're joining up with a team that's already structured to win over the next 2 or 3 years of their time there. So, like, LaMarcus Aldridge didn't necessarily go and team up per se with Kawhi Leonard. He didn't sign with Kawhi in San Antonio. He just went to a situation where he felt he had the best opportunity to win. And as we saw with, I mean, the ultimate exaggeration of this point is the Miami Heatles, right? Where you had Dwayne Wade and LeBron James and Chris Bosh all simultaneously decide, all right, we all want to play together. We're all going to do whatever we can and sacrifice money to play together. But they wouldn't do that if it was just Chris Bosh going to Miami, or they wouldn't, Dwayne Wade wouldn't take a pay cut so that he can play alongside Dion Waiters. He did that to play alongside LeBron. And if LeBron wants to come to LA, he's probably going to be asking, the first question he's going to ask is, who am I going to be playing with? And that gets to an awkward question about the young core, right? Like, all right, that's cool that Brandon Ingram has shown more growth than maybe people thought, but can you flip him for another win now superstar? That's going to get to it. It's going to be an awkward situation if it gets to that point, not just with Magic and with LeBron and their negotiations together, but with the fan base who have kind of bought into this rebuild that's centered around youth and centered around timing, and waiting for the Golden State Warriors to not be the Golden State Warriors anymore. That's going to get interesting really quickly.
Yeah, and I think realistically what we're talking about here too is, are the Lakers better off without two max contracts? Like, show me how they're better, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know that they're better. You can't really show that they're better off without two max contracts because we don't know what these young guys are going to be. And so if the Lakers have the chance to add a guy like LeBron James, they can't say, well, you know, he may break down in like 2 or 3 years. Like, maybe this isn't that. Like, you take that chance. Every single team in the NBA would take that chance. And if they say they wouldn't, they're lying. So I think you kind of have to do that. And the other thing, too, is the opportunity cost of this is not like they don't have to trade Lonzo Ball if they want to get LeBron necessarily.
No.
You know, like they aren't giving up on Brandon Ingram if they get LeBron. Like, with the guy that we're talking about giving up, the guys that we're talking about giving up on are Jordan Clarkson, who is like, hey, he's been promising this year, but like, come on. Luol Deng, which the Lakers, I think LeBron or no LeBron, would want to give up on, and Julius Randle, which is probably going to be, if they have to give up a guy out of those three to make the math work, that'll be the most painful one, but he's also the one that it's the most realistic that they can keep.
I want to keep talking about this a little bit, and we'll get to the second half of that question on the other half of this little, as we step away for a second. All right, so here's the thing about the max deals and stuff is, find me a team out there who has made the playoffs without one max guy. Find me a team out there who
the Pistons, maybe?
By the end of it, I think Rasheed Wallace was a max guy.
Well, by the end of it, but like, I just mean that first year.
But find me a player or a team that has a legitimate contender in this current Western Conference that doesn't have at least one or two max guys, right? And so, yes.
You can't, you clown.
So
that's like, right, you. I'm talking specifically to you.
Dave in Idaho.
Don't look around, Dave.
but yes, you could see these guys. You can understand why you would want to see how, you know, Ingram develops and Lonzo develops, and if Randle can continue his current trajectory as this really good small ball five, and if Jordan Clarkson can continue his strong start to the season, you'd like to see how all that plays out. But at the end of the day, too, the other thing that LeBron offers to the Lakers, and it's something they haven't had in a little while, is legitimacy. Right? The brand did not die because of the tanking stuff, and anybody who thought it would was outright wrong, objectively wrong, and borderline stupid. But I do think
that's how I really feel.
but I do think, though, that the Lakers getting LeBron puts everybody on notice. Okay, yeah, holy crap, Magic did bring legitimacy back to the Lakers. They are bringing back the era of, yes, that's right, we have the biggest, you know, in the room at all times. And
no, I don't know.
is that like a statement about your, you know, or you don't know?
Oh, okay,
from?
Now that was just mean.
but that's what I'm saying is that yes, I understand that, you know, LeBron has played minutes at a clip that nobody in the history of basketball has, and the thinking is at some point that's going to catch up to him in some way or another, whether it's falling off of a cliff a la Kobe when he blew his Achilles, or just a steady decline where you're not getting return on the investment of a max contract to LeBron James. Both of those situations are very real and very concerning if that is how it plays out. But again, if you're going to gamble on somebody in this situation, it's a 6'8", 6'9", 260, 270-pound, super-skilled cyborg, and then whatever else he wants to do with the roster, you kind of sort of have to listen to.
Yeah, I'm in agreement on this. It's a gamble. There's nothing the Lakers can do that guarantees a title. Sitting back, kicking back, and letting the young guys grow is not a guarantee of a title. And I don't know that it's a better chance of one than signing an aging LeBron.
Yeah, and the other thing too is it's not even like not signing LeBron has downside or has less downside, right? Because if you don't sign LeBron and you continue to have all this responsibility on Lonzo and he turns out not to be the superstar that maybe Magic thinks he is.
How dare you?
You're screwed. You're done, right? Just like
how dare you?
Just like if you sign just like if you sign LeBron and he gets hurt, you're done, right? So either way, you have the same basement and ceiling as you could possibly have with either situation. So I just bet on arguably the best talent of our generation. The
so Lonzo.
I was talking about Kuzma. There was another part of that, though, about other free agents who are out there, right? There was another half of that.
Well, so that's a question I want to get to in a second. But first, we have this review from Anthony Sucks 343 that just says Anthony Sucks. And so, Anthony, do you care to respond? Do you have a question, or can you answer that question?
Did it have 5 stars?
No, I just made that one up.
No, I knew you made it up, dude. I was gonna roll with the joke, but sure, Anthony Sucks 343.
I'm a journalist. I wasn't gonna lie. So, actual review or actual question we have from Egains 12, and it's about the second unit, and he says, what are some roster moves that the Lakers can make to improve their roster this year? With a focus on improving the second unit, who are some players theoretically available to the Lakers? Theoretically available the Lakers should look to trade for? Nikola Mirotic, question mark. I'm going to go ahead and say pass on Nikola Mirotic because of, like, I don't know that his face is, like, going to be intact for a significant amount of time.
Based on what we heard, it was a Mirotic that his face is still intact.
Okay. Thoughts and prayers to Nikola Mirotic. Seriously, though, like, that sucks. I can't imagine going through that. So that would not be a guy that I would trade for. I'm trying to think of, like, guys that are on the – like, do you think they should make a move? I just can't anticipate them making a move because it would have to be the perfect scenario where they're giving up not that much of their young core, but they're also getting a guy who doesn't affect their salary outcome for next year. So I just don't really – I don't see a trade.
So in terms of trades, it's difficult because the Lakers want to keep their books as clean as possible for next year. So they aren't going to take any money on. And most of the guys who would actually improve your team, it's really rare that a guy who would improve your team has 1 year left on their contract and is available, right? So like Paul George theoretically has 1 year left on his contract, but is he available right now? Probably not. Now, as the trade deadline approaches, and if OKC doesn't figure things out between George, Melo, and Russell Westbrook, which is a completely viable situation, by the way, but if they do figure things out, or they haven't seen enough to make that decision yet, then George isn't available, and you can't acquire somebody like George. Or with somebody like money like George's, who would actually improve your roster, and then crap away any chance that you have at LeBron James when that has been the entire priority of this process that the Lakers are going through right now. Now, look, if things don't turn around in OKC, the ideal trade that I would make is a straight up KCP for Paul George trade. Done. That's a, because KCP now, I don't know how the bird rights would work out there in OKC, but KCP can fill in the gap, and he doesn't need the ball as much as Paul George to be successful. George comes over here, and the Lakers have a few months to convince him, or they have a few months to do whatever tampering they have to do to say, hey, look, we got this guy, LeBron. Wouldn't you want to play with LeBron or with Paul George? Doesn't that sound like fun? Especially while LeBron is having to have miraculous fourth quarter comebacks to beat the lowly Knicks. So the only move that really presents itself is Mindaugas Kuzminskas.
Close. Sure. Okay, Anthony.
What's his name?
Mindaugas Kuzminskas.
Yeah. Mindaugas Kuzminskas, who's out there. If you can acquire him and...
Out there is like definitely the best way to describe him.
Definitely his knee.
He exists.
But I would say his name, not his knee. But his... I would say he is the easiest way that the Lakers can upgrade their bench. Basically, you trade Corey Brewer for Kuzminskas by waiving Corey Brewer. And you no longer have Corey Brewer making your life a living hell on offense. Kuzminskas can at least shoot from the outside a little bit. And you basically trade those two, and that upgrades your bench rather easily. The issue is that would work for quite a few teams out there right now. So I believe he's already cleared waivers. It's been 48 hours. So it's going to be interesting to see which teams show interest in him. And, you know, if it's a playoff team and he's looking to continue to play in the playoffs, then the Lakers don't really have a chance. But if he just wants to go somewhere for an opportunity to cash in this coming offseason, then the Lakers kind of offer that because of how few wings they have.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to add to that because my answer was just kind of that I just don't see it happening for all of those reasons.
The other thing too is like it's not a priority of theirs to improve their roster.
Well, I mean it is, but it's like we said, it would have to be the perfect situation, and perfect situations rarely materialize. And there are a couple more questions that we have after this that I want to get to after a quick break.
What's up with your voice?
My voice?
Yeah, it's like really deep.
I don't know, man. I just like I have a nice voice. I don't know. This is weird. We're still recording, you know this, right?
I'm telling you, it's like super deep. You sound like you're in the witness protection program.
Okay, do you think it's a mic problem?
We have to keep this. It's so good. But yeah, it's definitely a mic problem. I'm not sure what just happened there. Hello?
Do I sound better now?
Yeah. Hello? That's way better.
Okay. Well, this has been Podcasting Difficulties with Harrison and Anthony. I'm going to get right into the next question. Who should the Lakers be? Actually, I'm going to go to this one first. So this one is from Vet57, and they ask, hey, Anthony and Harrison, especially Harrison, can you spend some time on one of your upcoming podcasts discussing what a pairing of PG-13 and Boogie may look like next year if we strike out on LeBron? That seems to me to be the most likely scenario, but it could be a fun team to watch, especially if we somehow retain Randall, although unlikely. Thanks. Well, thank you for sending your question, Vet57. So I actually kind of agree that is a lot more likely than LeBron and Paul George. I think that DeMarcus Cousins is very much going to be out there because even though the Pelicans are playing pretty well, I just like he seems like the type of guy that would enjoy a Los Angeles, I think. And I DeMarcus Cousins and Paul George would be an incredible two-man combination, especially with a point guard like Lonzo Ball to run the offense.
Yeah, I like it would mean Randall can't stick around because Boogie is best at the five and George is probably best at the four at this point and moving forward in his career. So
I think George has quite a bit of time left at the three. He can play really well at the four, right?
Yeah. Like it's like a one in, four out kind of thing where you just spread the floor as much as you possibly can and give Boogie all the room he can get. But yeah, I would really like that combination. And look, again, just like with LeBron, it's about legitimacy. The Lakers, what flat out cannot happen this upcoming offseason is they walk away with nobody.
Yeah.
Because that's the only scenario where the Lakers are once again completely rudderless and you know, dire straits. I don't think that's how this plays out. I think they get somebody this offseason, and that somebody is probably going to start with Paul George. And if he can convince Boogie Cousins, who is in that kind of – so like LeBron is in the stratosphere of stratospheres of stratospheres, right, when it comes to elite
sure, that, level. Sure, those were words.
Yeah, and in terms of impact and in the whole kit and caboodle of not just basketball, but he is a walking, talking industry of his own, right? He's going to he immediately injects hundreds of millions of dollars into the ecosystem that he shows up in, right? Economy. That's the word.
Ecosystem.
Yeah, the economy that I was.
When LeBron goes to the rainforest, it just starts growing money.
I mean, wouldn't shock me, but if you take a step down from there, I would say that's where Paul George and that's where Boogie Cousins show up, where they're both really good basketball players, but they aren't going to offer up the impact off of the court that LeBron would.
Yeah, which is why the Lakers have Lonzo. Arguably the greatest player in NBA history soon.
Hey, did you know he dropped a triple-double the other night?
The youngest player to ever do so, and a historic one at that. The specific stat line that Lonzo put up, only player in NBA history to ever do that.
Not arbitrary at all.
I'm not saying he's the greatest player of all time.
But he's the greatest player to have ever put up that stat line.
Yeah, it's true. Numerically factual.
All we can do is present facts.
Yeah, and but, the facts are that Lonzo Ball is the GOAT.
But yeah, I mean, to answer the question, Paul George, Boogie, that's a great combination. And that would be, if the offseason plays out like that, then perfect. Now, I don't think that puts them in title contention. I don't think that puts them
not right off the bat, but yeah, it puts them in like Western Conference, like going to the Western Conference Finals contention.
Yeah. So like if LeBron and Paul George show up, that immediately puts you in the Conference Finals, in my opinion. If Paul George and Boogie show up, then you're hoping that Brandon Ingram takes a couple steps forward and Lonzo is
and a couple
legit.
Steps for Brandon Ingram is like 3 miles. So
it's a few courts. So if that's the combination that you're looking at and you're hoping to contend for titles, then Ingram needs to be legit and Lonzo needs to be legit. If LeBron and Paul George show up, then only one of those guys need to be legit superstars for it to work out. That'd be my analysis of the situation.
Yeah, I agree. And so I think that takes us into our final question before our last little segment that we're going to do. And so this one is from @_Vons, and they the with a THA. So They ask, who should the Lakers be looking for next year? Avery Bradley, DeAndre Jordan, etc. This is in the extremely unlikely chance LBJ, PG don't come to save the day, of course. Who fits with the core, with the young core? So this person, I appreciate the confidence. They're saying that it's unlikely that those two guys don't come. And but if that were to not happen, like say, you know, like God forbid the Lakers don't sign LeBron James and Paul George, as everyone expects. Anthony, you're always on the trade machine and looking at free agency stuff. Like, who do you think who's an ideal target for you? I guess other than Boogie, because we just talked about him a bunch.
Well, I like the names that he brings up. I like Avery Bradley as an option because it allows he becomes your best perimeter defender, and it allows Lonzo Ball to continue to develop in that aspect of the game. And look, based on what we've seen from Lonzo so far, it looks like he's at least not going to be a terrible defender. Right.
No, he's been a pretty good one already.
Right. So if that's what we're looking at, then you have a decent backcourt, defensive backcourt moving forward. I like the DeAndre Jordan one, but the only concern with Jordan is he relies really heavily on athleticism. And once that athleticism...
If only the Lakers had a point guard who was really good at setting up bigs.
Well, yeah. And look, if it's like a 3-year deal with Jordan, cool. I'd be okay with that.
I also just want to say, Lakers, if you do try to sign Jordan, make sure that you like lock him up before letting him leave the room once he agrees.
I think he's going to make sure Doc Rivers is locked up in a closet so he can't do that kind of thing anymore.
Yeah, Magic's going to kidnap him.
But I think that'd be my concern with the Jordan. If the Lakers strike out completely, then maybe try it back and you see what kind of deal, if there's a more realistic long-term deal that KCP would be interested in taking. You kind of have to choose between KCP and Avery Bradley and which direction you go in there. You kind of have to choose between Brook Lopez and DeAndre Jordan and which direction you want to go in there. I believe Nerlens Noel will also be on the market, but we're now on his second franchise that doesn't particularly think very highly of him. So do you want to entertain that headache off of the court and technically on the court? And the market dries up insanely quickly. It is really top heavy. And so do you say, all right, well, we'll try to stay as flexible as we possibly can for Anthony Davis in 2020 or 2019. Maybe Kawhi in 2020, though I don't think he's ever leaving San Antonio. So the thing is, and it's like I said earlier in the show, you cannot strike out. You can't have moved D'Angelo Russell, and go ahead, roll your eyes if you want, because I mentioned D'Angelo Russell, but you can't trade him in order to free up cap space and then not get anybody legitimately can't get any legitimate superstardom to fill that cap space. You can't do that, because that's the definition of rudderless behavior, directionless leadership. And
I agree.
So,
they have to prove it this summer.
Yeah, and look, I still think, I don't know if I have the the confidence that it's unlikely that LeBron and Paul George don't wind up in LA. But if I had to bet one way or another, I think the Lakers get somebody and probably two max guys. It's just going to be a matter of, will they get names for the sake of names, or will they take fit into account here? That's almost an existential question that we could talk about for hours.
Yeah, and we aren't going to do that because we don't have time. But we did want to show you guys today. We are getting to these questions. We check the reviews before nearly every show, so it will be punctual. That is the best way to reach us. 5-star iTunes review. Leave your question. Leave your Twitter handle if you want a shout out. And so, real quick to wrap things up, we're going to go like 2 minutes on our newest segment that we teased, I think last week. But it's, would we criticize Byron Scott for saying this? And so, Anthony.
You don't get fined because that's the name of the segment.
Yeah, right? That's the name of the segment. Right. So I can say it there. But
that was why I cleared my throat so loudly.
Oh. So last night, Luke Walton had some comments on how veteran guard Corey Brewer really helped the Lakers down the stretch. So here we go. When Corey got in there and got going, he lifts the spirits of the young guys. And if it comes at the expense of now I'm just part of the game. So back to Luke's quote. The way the NBA is supposed to work.
Back to witness protection.
The way the NBA is supposed to work, and has worked, as long as I can remember, Walton said, is young players come in and sit, and they watch vets do it, and they watch how vets do it. For any of young guys to sit there, and if a vet's having a good game like Brewer was tonight, seeing how hard he works and seeing how he stayed ready, even though he hadn't been playing big minutes, is part of the development plan for them.
All right, so
my voice still in witness protection?
It is, and it's glorious. I would be nervous if not for this huge, ginormous, humongous, bright light disclaimer, neon light disclaimer. The thing that was most maddening about the Lakers' last coach was that they were supposed to be losing, right? And I would never expect a coach to lose on purpose, because that's not what they do when you're paid to win in professional sports. But the fact that he thought that the veterans were better than the young guys that he had, which was just absolutely wrong, and he thought that game in, game out, right? So that was the difference here, was that it didn't matter that Corey Brewer did or did not have it going. The previous coach was going to go with Ronnie Price in the situation, no matter how bad he was playing that game, right? And look, it should be pointed out that Corey Brewer was giving Devin Booker some issues. He was frustrated enough to yell at Jesse Mermes at the end of the game, right?
So, was that Mermes that yelled at Booker for flopping?
Yeah, it was Mermes.
That's hilarious.
Well, there are multiple reports. So it's somebody says that Brian Shaw told Devin Booker to stop effing flopping. But then if you there's one screen grab of it where it really looks like Jesse Mermes is going at Booker, you know, yelling at him.
I just can't picture Mermes doing that. Like, I think he'd be like, yeah, nice shot, bro.
I could, yeah. I feel like if it was Mermes, it would be like, dude, you're flopping like something I caught last weekend, bro. Like, I couldn't see him cussing at him, but I could.
No, I don't even think it would be mean if it was Mermes. He'd be like, he'd actually mean it. He'd be like, dude, that was a sick flop, bro. Yeah. And like actually mean it as a compliment, but Devin Booker took it the wrong way.
Like a hang ten, yeah. Sign and everything. But it so there are multiple angles that you know, one of the angles made it look to me like when I went back and I was watching it late night last night, it looked to me like Brian Shaw was the aggressor in this situation. The other thing that needs to be pointed out here is that, like, assistant coaches, what the hell are you doing cussing at another team's player? Like, what are you doing?
Well, you can actually talk to the South Bay Lakers or former defenders head coaching staff about that last year. I think their assistants basically alternated getting technicals in every game last year. It was hilarious.
That's fun, I guess. That's not very professional, but it's fun. But I would say I'm not worried. I don't think it's on the same level, but Luke has given some weird quotes this year, like the three-pointer thing that he was talking about earlier, and I think he said that the Lakers were getting punked against the Celtics, but this one is the closest to something that the previous coach would say, and even this is not quite on the same level because the Lakers have completely different intentions this season than they did back then.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, that does it then. I have to go negotiate buying a car, so.
That's all right. Fun. Well, I have to go negotiate what is going on the Daily Titans front page tomorrow. So as always, you can find the show on Panoply, Megaphone, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Today's Fast Break, Alexa, Spotify, sometimes Lakers Nation, sometimes Lakers Outsiders, our Twitter feeds, occasionally on Facebook when Anthony does his job, and all kinds of other places.
Yeah, I put it up there today.
Oh, okay. Good job. Thank you.
Yeah, I did my job. All right. Have a good one, everybody.